I couldn't help but being moved and being touched by that testimony. Hallelujah. It reminded me of my mom when she was giving birth to my younger brother. That was the same scenario. But today my mom is still alive. My younger brother is a special young boy. And it made me realize that so many times we're going down the valley. We're going through challenges. Eventually we come back in the ground land. But we forgot that many people also went to the same valley, then never came back. Many women went to give birth in the same hospital, having the same problem, and it didn't end well. But for us, it's mercy. It's mercy. And I just couldn't help myself but thinking, sometimes you're just having a headache, just a headache. And you come back and you take a paracetamol and that's it. But there are people who had a headache and they went gone because of a headache. You've been through an accident. Some people had an accident and that's it. But you always come back. Every time you go down, you come back. Every single time you go down, there is somehow a power bringing you back. That's why you are here. So never mind about the fact that your situation is taking too long to be resolved. Just think about the power that keeps you in that situation. Think about the grace that keeps you going. What an amazing God we have. What an amazing God we have. If I was you just now, I'll just begin to praise Him. I'll just begin to say, thank you, God. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I can't even imagine the number of times you have rescued me. I can't imagine so many times you have taken me from death back to life, from the valley back to the ground floor. I'll give you glory. You are amazing. You are my God. And I'm so proud to be called your son. Thank you, Lord, for your loving and kind mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your love towards me. Who am I that you are so mindful of me? Who am I that you are so mindful of me? Thank you, Father. I give you all the glory. I give you all the glory. I will never stop praising you. I'll never stop praising you. Your name will always be on my lips. I will continue to praise you. Whatever the devil do in my life, whatever the situation around me, I'll give you praise. I'll give you praise. I'll give you praise. To the Victory Assembly, give you praise. We are the proudest of sons, the proudest of daughters. We have a dad. We have a God. We have a Lord. We give you all the glory. Amen. Shall we give him a clap of praise? Hallelujah. He's a good God. He's a good God. Quickly, I want to appreciate God for this opportunity once again to be standing in front of his people. Amen. It is already a privilege just to be called a son of God. It's a privilege. But it's also a privilege to be associated with his work. So many times we are not to the standard that is required. So many times we come short. So many times we have weaknesses and failure, but the Lord continues to renew his trust on us. We just say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And I also want to take this opportunity to thank our senior pastor, Pastor Musa, for giving me the opportunity to minister the word today. Amen. And I take this. Thank you, Mommy. And thank you to all the leaders in the church for your support. Praise the Lord. I have only a few minutes. I'm just going to share something quickly. And then we can move on to the next. Amen. I just very quickly want to encourage someone when I was given this opportunity to minister, what came in my mind, and it's been confirmed by everything that was happening today, is something that I started to introduce last year when I was given briefly an opportunity to speak, and that verse just came in my mouth. I want to continue to speak about the miracle of the blind man in the book of Mark chapter 8. Amen. Mark chapter 8, the miracle of the blind man. I just want to say one or two things about this verse. I think what today we've been already ministered by God. We've been ministered in so many ways since the beginning of this meeting. Amen. We've been ministered in so many ways. So I just want quickly to share something that will help us to continue praise God and to continue to give him praise. Mark chapter 8, I'll be reading verse 22 and until verse 32. Mark 8 from verse 22 to verse 32. My Bible say, and I'm reading for NIV. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. They begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hand on the man's hand. Then his eyes were open. His sight was restored. You'll be restored in Jesus' name. And he saw everything clearly. You will see everything clearly in Jesus' name. Jesus sent him home saying, "Don't go into the village." Praise the Lord. This is the word of God. A blind man. When they came to Bethsaida, they brought a blind man. And the Bible says, they begged Jesus to touch him. The Lord took his hand, took him outside the village. He spat on his eyes. And the person could see. Praise the Lord. Before going any further, I think it will be fair for me to give you quickly a background of this story. And also of the book of Mark. The book of Mark is the oldest of all the gospels. The very first gospel that was written is the gospel of Mark. Amen. So any other gospel, Luke, John, Matthew, they were actually referencing themselves to this gospel. So this is like the original gospel. Praise the Lord. You know, when you are students, you do your assignment, you need to be citing and referencing things to prove that you've done your job properly. So this is what really happened. Mark has been the first one who wrote the gospel. But what is extraordinary is that Mark never walked with Jesus. Praise the Lord. He never walked with Jesus. But he was the very first person who wrote this book. Actually, he was a very young man when Jesus was still ministering. People say that it is actually his mother who was one of the prominent women who were around Jesus. And later on, Mark actually helped Peter and later on Saul as well. And this is where he heard all this beautiful story. And he put a wonderful book of Mark. Amen. This introduced us directly to our message. Because you don't need to see Jesus to know Jesus. You don't need to see to know. Praise the Lord. You don't need to see to know. You can just know. You can just know. Without seeing, without touching, without seeing, you can just know. Praise the Lord. I don't know if it's happened to you so many times. You just feel something is on the way. You haven't heard anything. You haven't seen anything. There is just a deep conviction within you. Something is happening. Praise the Lord. This is why the Bible says we are not walking by sight. We are walking by faith. We see from inside. Hallelujah. We see from inside. Mark didn't walk with Jesus, but he knew Jesus. He knew all about Jesus. He knew what Jesus was able to do. He knew all about Jesus. Because when you listen to this story, it's happening just if you go from verse 1 of chapter 8, the story that comes before the miracle of the blind is the feeding of the 5,000. Praise the Lord. It's the feeding of the 5,000. So it begins by telling the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And you remember when Jesus multiplied the bread and the fishes, his disciples were still not really believing in him. So what Jesus told them before we move to this chapter, to this story, Jesus actually was blaming them for their unbelief. He was blaming them that up to now you don't understand who I am. Praise the Lord. Up to now, you still don't have a clue about me, about who I am able to do. Up to now, you still, he said in verse 17, he said, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see? Praise the Lord. He said, do you have eyes but fail to see? And directly Mark decided to talk about the miracle of the blind man. He wants to tell us something. He wants to tell us something. That it is possible to be in a church but really not to know Jesus. It is possible to be there in the things of God but not really to know who is Jesus. Because actually, even after this miracle, he begins to tell the story when Jesus asked them, who do you think I am? So Mark is telling us something about this story. Praise the Lord. And I know that because of his grace, we will see clearly. In our life, we will see clearly. In everything concerning your life, you will see clearly. Praise the Lord. But one interesting thing, beginning from verse 1, the Bible says, they came to Bethesda. So they were coming from somewhere, and they moved to Bethesda. They were coming from Capernaum, where he multiplied the bread. He feeded the 5,000. And there is an argument, as we said last time, that it could have been more than 10,000. Because 4,000 was without a woman and the children. So he healed the 5,000 in Capernaum. And then he decided to move to Bethesda. You know, if I was Jesus, I already continue ministering to the 5,000. I already continue ministering somewhere I've already made my mark. I'll rather continue somewhere where I'm already celebrated. Somewhere where I'm on high. I'm on top of the game. 5,000 people ready to crown him as king. This is the place he moved from. This is the place he told the disciple, let's go to Bethesda. And he left the 5,000 because there is one blind man waiting to be healed. He moved from a place of comfort. They actually said that Capernaum was for the upper middle level people. It was a better city than Bethesda. Bethesda was for the poor. So he left there and moved because there is somebody that was in his mind. I want to tell you something. You are in God's mind. You are on his agenda. You are in God's agenda. He knows you by name. I don't know how to call this if not mercy. This is mercy. This is mercy. Who am I that you are so mindful of me? That you leave the 5,000 to come to me? That you leave heaven and earth? You leave all your glory? You leave your throne and you come down for me? Who am I? This is mercy. Hallelujah. It's coming for you. It's coming for you. It will show up for you. In Jesus' mighty name. You are in his mind. You are in his mind. And nothing will stop him coming back to you. Praise the Lord. If he has fed 5,000 people and everybody had something to eat, you also, you have your portion. There is a portion for you. There is a portion for the blind man in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43 verse 3 says, since you are precious and honor in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. So I don't know in which area you are struggling to see clearly. I don't know which area of your life is still in darkness, but I know it will show up for you. Hallelujah. And I also know one thing. I don't know why, but in that time, there has been so many blind people. I don't know if you've noticed. So many miracles of blind people in that particular time. I don't know. I don't know the explanation, whether there is a medical explanation or sociologic explanation why in the East in that time there were so many blind people. I don't know. But what I know is that there is a lot of miracle of healing of the blind in the Bible. I know that every time Jesus was facing a blind person, he was praying for the person could see. So I don't need to understand why you are in the position you are today. All I know is that you can be healed in Jesus' name. I don't need to understand why you are in that position, how long it has taken you to be in that position. But I know that God wants you to see. He wants you to see clearly in Jesus' mighty name. And I say that you will see. You will see in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Blindness can be described as the inability to see. Praise the Lord. That inability to see things, is to be in darkness. It's to be dwelling in darkness. When you are blind, everything is dark. Totally dark. Totally dark. Everything is the same. It's a state of lost. It's the state of lack. It's the state of being helpless. It's all those things. Praise the Lord. And we can approach blindness, first of all, in a sense that it is the lack of spiritual understanding. The lack of spiritual understanding. When your eyes are not open spiritually, you are blind. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he said, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded them, and so that they cannot see the light of God. Hallelujah. So to be blind is also, in a sense, not to understand the things of God. Not to be open to the things of God. Maybe you are here, and you are totally foreign to the things of God. You come to church, you are involved with church, but the things of God is just foreign to you. You feel yourself distant from God. Maybe you don't understand why you have to do what you do. You don't even know why you are in church today, praise the Lord. Maybe daddy took you, or mommy took you, or auntie took you. You are just there. But you never realize from yourself understanding the things of God. And I pray in the name of Jesus that may the light shine for you in the name of Jesus. May your understanding be open. May the Lord open your mind that touches you so that your eyes can be open in Jesus' name. Psalm 146, 8 says, it is the Lord who gives sight to the blind. It is the Lord who gives sight to the blind. And I don't know if you have already encountered Jesus. If one day in the road of Damascus you have seen the light. I don't know. But I pray that your mind will be open in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. But it's not just those who are perishing. Also unbelievers, we can be living in blindness. The Bible talks about Revelation chapter 3, the church of Laodicea. The Bible says that you are blind. You are blind. You are blind. Those are Christians. So that church was described as a complacent church. A church that has lost track. A church that has lost the very important thing. So every time we as a Christian, we lose the priority. We begin to focus on what is not the priority. We begin to walk in blindness. Every time you begin to focus on material things, you begin to focus on things that are not the most important things for you as a Christian and as a servant of God, you are also walking in darkness. Praise the Lord. And finally, blindness can be approached as just struggle. Just struggle. Being in a place where you don't see the light. Being in a place where things are just not working for you. This is also blindness. Praise the Lord. David, writing the book of Psalm, when he was actually fleeing for his life, he said, look on me, O Lord, and answer me, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. He was in a struggle. He was being haunted by Saul, the king. And he was in a very difficult position. And he said, Lord, give me light so I can come out of this situation. In Jesus' name, you will come out of that situation. In Jesus' name, you will see light. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, two people came with the young, the blind man to Jesus. And they begged him to touch him. They begged him to touch him. I believe we had an opportunity to mention that last time. That when they came, they identify the problem. The problem was the eyes. Praise the Lord. They knew the problem was the eyes. So they came to the Lord and they just said to the Lord, Lord, you don't have to worry too much. We've sorted out the whole thing. We know what has to be done here. All you have to do is to take your mighty and powerful hand and put it in those two eyes. And we can go home. Everybody will be happy. You don't have to figure out how this thing can be done. We have figured out for you. Just touch his eyes. Actually, the scripture says they begged him. In another version, they say they put pressure on him. So many times we put pressure on the Lord. And we say to the Lord, Lord, we know what you have to do. You know that person who has to sign my case? Just touch his heart. As soon as he signed my case, that's it, Lord. You don't have to struggle. I have figured out what has to be done. I have figured out for myself. Lord, just touch that person who has to accept my job application. It just touch that person in the embassy. Touch that person in the bank. We put pressure on the Lord. Praise the Lord. But the Lord, instead of touching the eyes, he took the hand. Instead of going for the eyes, he went for the hand. If I was one of the friends, I would say to the Lord, Lord, you are wrong. Something is wrong here. You should go that way. The Lord knows what he's doing. With your life, he knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing. You're waiting for him to touch you in a particular way, but he knows what he's doing. Praise the Lord. He took the person in the eyes. He took him in the hand. The Bible says he took him outside the city. Outside the city. The very first thing that God will do for you, the touch you are expecting from God might be different for the first touch of God. The first touch of God is to relocate you. That is very first touch. Is to take you out of your familiarity, out of your comfort zone, out of the system that you have created, your system of comfort. It will take you out of that. And take you, can you imagine for a blind person to be in a new city? You don't even know where you because when you are used to a city, you can figure out your way in a sense. And you have people around you who knows you, who can drag you. But in a brand new city, you are lost. And when you are in that point, you have only one person to rely on, is the Lord. So before he begins to touch you and to heal you, he will make sure that you have no one left. He will make sure that all the system that you have built. I've seen many people coming from wealthy family. They had everything. But when they become a Christian and they make an engagement to follow Christ, suddenly the whole system collapses. And the things where they were putting the trust, they can no longer sustain themselves. And those people are left with only God. Maybe you are here. You don't understand why you are going through those hardships. Despite the fact that you're coming from a wealthy family. But just somehow, since you became a student in Chevy, things are just hard for you. You have to struggle even for food. You have to struggle to pay your rent. Maybe he has taken you outside of the city. Because he wants to touch you. And to do something from you. May the Lord touch you. May the Lord heal you in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. And when it took him outside the city, the Bible says he began to walk with him. They walk a long distance because they came from one city outside the city. So they walk a long distance. And that reminds me of the Garden of Eden when the Lord came to Adam. And he said, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, oh, I'm hiding myself. Actually, the Lord was enjoying fellowshipping with Adam. Every day, he was enjoying walking with Adam. Hallelujah. The intention of God has always been to walk with you. Even when he touches you, the intention is so that you walk with him. It's so that you walk with him. If the blessings that he gives you begin to prevent you walking with God, you are in a bad place. The blessings of God should even bring you closer to God. Because his intention in touching you is so that you walk together. So they became to walk together. They walk and walk and walk. This is intimacy. Praise the Lord. This is intimacy. So I want to ask you a question today. Who are you walking with? Who are you walking with as you are expecting God to touch you? Who are you walking with? Praise the Lord. Who are you walking with? Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the weak, who doesn't stand in the way of sinners, and who sits in the seat, who doesn't sit in the seat of mockers. Praise the Lord. If you follow that scripture, you find out there is a progression in perdition. There is a progression in perdition. The person begins to walk with sinners, with the counsel of the wicked. Praise the Lord. Who doesn't walk in the counsel. So you begin to walk. If you walk long enough in the counsel of the wicked, it comes a point where you feel comfortable to just sit and spend some more time. Praise the Lord. So your grade is, you are being upgraded. You're becoming more confident. And it will even come a point, if you have stand long enough, you grab a chair. At that point, you have no more condemnation. I've seen people saying, oh, I'm just lying a bit. I'm just cheating a bit. I'm just drinking a bit. I'm just clubbing a bit. Yeah, everything starts with a walk. But because of intimacy, intimacy will grow. And you will come to a point where you won't be bothered anymore. You just grab a chair and you park there. That will not be your case in the name of Jesus. Everything begins with a walk. Who are you walking with? Praise the Lord. Because of time, I'm just going to go quickly so we can close this. And finally, after a long walk. Remember, when they came with this blind person, he wasn't alone. He had people. People brought him to Jesus. Praise the Lord. They brought him to Jesus. We praise God for Christian family. I come from a Christian family, and that did lay the ground for me to become a Christian. Praise the Lord. Today we have prayed for Alicia, and we know that because of Joseph and Tabitha, she will grow to know the Lord. She will grow in an environment where there is faith, when the God is known. Praise the Lord. But there should come a time when you know God for yourself. There should come a time. Even if people have been taking you, there should come a time when the Lord will just stop those people and he will grab your hand. And people should see that from now, it's no longer your parent pushing you to church. Praise the Lord. People will see. From when I was growing up, I came from a Christian family. So I was going to church every Sunday. And I thought I was a Christian. Until one day, in the midst of the service, the sermon was preached, and that day was special for me. I understood things in a different way. My heart suddenly opened, and I found myself crying. It was strange. I couldn't stop myself crying. That was the day when I gave my life to Jesus. But before, my parents was taking me to church. Actually, I wasn't enjoying going to church only because the church was far away, so we'll have to drive to get there. So as a young man, it was a really good journey just to get in the car and travel the whole city until we get to the church. But that day, when I was touched, even when my parents were not ready to go to church, I'll go myself. I'll take my bus and I'll go, because I began to understand for myself. And I pray for all the young people here. Maybe sometimes your dad, your mom, your aunties are pushing you too much. They want you to join Revolution. They want you to work in the chair. They want you to sing. Hey, you just don't understand. Why are they doing this? We pray that one day they won't need to do that anymore. Because you will know God for yourself. Actually, it will come a day when they will begin to tell you, slow down. You're going a bit too fast. Slow down. Praise the Lord. One day you should just understand. And if you are here, you are not born again. I pray that today your hearts might be open. That suddenly you see light. That your mind just be open to the things of God. And that you shall receive the light in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Finally, when we get to verse number 24. Verse number 23. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hand on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" Praise the Lord. So we don't have time to go into the business of splitting in the eyes and everything. I'm just going to close there. That finally, the Lord touched his hand, his eyes. And this is what he originally requested. When he came and said, they said, "Touch him." But instead of touching him, the Lord took his hand, took him on a journey, did something, and finally touched his eyes. He will touch you finally. Whatever that situation is, at the end, he will touch you. Amen. He hasn't forget about that situation. He just had a different plan to yours. He just has a different way of doing things to yours. Eventually, he will come to you. And you know why he will come to you? Because his mission statement, when he began his ministry, in Luke chapter 4, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because he has anointed me to preach the good news of the poor to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind." So this is in his mission statement. You are in the agenda. Hallelujah. You are in the agenda. And I want to tell you something. You don't need the Lord, because especially in this miracle, most of the time when the Lord performs a miracle, he speaks. He said, "Think." He said, "Your faith, you are saved by your faith." He declares something, "Be loose or be free." But this time, he didn't say anything. And suddenly, he's plattening and then begin the miracle. All I want to say is, sometimes you don't need a new word from God. Sometimes you don't need another word. You don't need another prophecy. The same prophecy that was said to you 10 years ago is enough. It still stands. Is still valid. That promise you had the day you took your flight from Nigeria to London and you prayed, that vision you had that day is still valid. It's still valid. It's still valid. You don't even if you don't understand, you don't hear another word from God, just hang on what you have heard 20 years ago, 10 years ago, because he is coming for you and he has you on his mind. He has you on his mind. You are in the plan. You are in the agenda. You are in the program. He has left 5,000 people just for you. And if you are here, I want to tell you, he is here today for you. Just for you, in the name of Jesus. Why don't you just begin to praise him where you are? Just praise him and say, "Lord, you have me in mind. You have me in mind. I know that you haven't forgotten about me. You have me in mind. Ah, you have me in mind. You have me in mind. What you said to me 20 years ago still stand. Still stand. Still stand. Rabba yashara baba baba. Roboro shoko brobo yabara santa. I'm still in your program. 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 Because you are merciful. Because you are merciful. Because you're coming for me. Roboro shaba baba baba sherebrebe. Just begin to praise him. Begin to praise him. Begin to praise him.